Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday Snippets. This is a time where we stop intentionally to reflect upon the readings that are appointed for this day. I pray that you would hear God's word, that it would come into your life so that it would bear much fruit. I pray that the Spirit would work in your life, that your ears would be open and your heart open as well to hear God's word and how it speaks to you in this day, that it calls you to go out and live a daily life with Jesus. Now we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God of life, you reach out to us amid our fears with the wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit's breath, revive our faith in your mercy and strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our gospel reading appointed for this day is from the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter. Now, at that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. These works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will perish. And they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. This day is sometimes referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday. It always follows on the fourth Sunday of Easter. And it's called Good Shepherd Sunday because the readings appointed for this day come from the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter, various portions for selected years. And this chapter of St. John has Jesus where he talks about, "I am the Good Shepherd." Jesus says, "I am the gate," this image of Jesus as shepherd. And here we get the end of this passage. And as you hear this, in our ears, it probably doesn't mean a whole lot. But for the people who heard this, it would have clicked in their brain. And there would have been images and thoughts that they had that we don't realize. It gives us a time. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. Now, most people, we don't know what is the festival of the dedication. That doesn't sound familiar, right? We may be familiar with Passover or Yom Kippur, but the festival of the dedication is what is commonly called Hanukkah. And it's one of the latest festivals in the Jewish faith. It takes place, and the story of Hanukkah happens in the books that we call part of the Apocrypha, Maccabean. And so it tells a story about the Jews rededicating the temple. The temple had been desecrated because of Rome. And so they've come in and they've not done the things the way they're supposed to. And there is this rebellion led by Judas Maccabee. And the story goes, and the Apocrypha tells the whole story, how they fought off and they were in the temple and they only had oil. They fought for one day, but it lasted for 8 days. And so Hanukkah is this festival that lasts 8 days. So when they're in this time frame, when they're thinking about this, the Jews would be thinking about this time when they rededicated the temple. A Messiah figure, somebody who God lifted up to lead them, like Judas Maccabean. And so people were wondering, is God going to do this again? Is God going to send the actual Messiah? And so people were, I think, probably thinking a little bit more about that because of the timing, because as they would light the eight candles for the 8 days of this festival, the sense of, wait a minute, is God acting? And it says that Jesus was there in the temple during this time, and people are wanting to know. They've heard Jesus teach. They've seen the miracles, or in the Gospel of John, the signs that he has done. Water into wine, right? The feeding of the 5,000, the raising of Lazarus, all of these things. And people are wondering, are you the Messiah? Are you the anointed one? Are you the promised one that God would send to save his people, to redeem the people? And Jesus tells them plainly that he is. A part of the larger discourse, Jesus has already said, I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. And when he says that, that there's something we also don't pick up. When he says, I am the good shepherd, the Greek that's used there, it's this phrase, ego eimi, which in Greek literally means I am. And there's this emphasis upon I am. A lot of times when you say, I am the good shepherd, we think about good shepherd, right? That's the important part. But in some ways, these sayings that Jesus says, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the resurrection. I am the living bread. When he says these things, there's something significant about that first part, I am. Because when he says it, in some ways he's referencing the divine name of God. If you go way back, if you remember the time of the people enslaved in Egypt, God raised up Moses to lead them out of slavery to the promised land, and that happened in the burning bush. And Moses approaches that bush that's being on fire but not consumed. And he hears the voice of God tell him to go and to lead the people out of slavery, to go to the land that he will show them, the land flowing with milk and honey. And he says, who is it that I am to say sent me? And God says, tell them, I am, has sent you. The divine name in Hebrew is Yahweh. I am who I am. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's really saying what he says here at the end, the Father and I are one. He's saying he is the Messiah. He is one with the Father and who's been sent to redeem all people, to come and restore that relationship that was broken in the Garden of Eden. He comes to help us to see what God is doing. And the significant thing then is, how do we hear Jesus' voice? How do we hear what he is saying? He says emphatically, you know, that people are saying, tell us if you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jesus says, well, you don't see it, because you don't listen to me, because you don't hear my voice. A little bit earlier, when he talks about being the good shepherd, he talks about the shepherd hearing, or the shepherd talking, and the sheep hearing his voice and following. And I think that's so critical in our world today. We live in a world filled with noise and distractions. We live in a world filled with so much stuff that sometimes we have this sensory overload. And part of this text calls us, it pulls us in to say, how are you hearing the voice of God? How are you hearing Jesus amid the distractions and the noise and all the stuff that's going on? It's so easy to tune stuff out. It takes time. And that's part of what we're doing here. We're being intentional about stopping to reflect upon God's word. because it's being intentional and stopping, maybe quieting ourselves, where we can hear that voice, listening to the word and reflecting upon it, allowing it to come into our life. And that can happen in all kinds of ways. It can happen as we listen to somebody talk about the scriptures. It can happen as we read the scriptures. It can happen, you know, when you listen to Christian music or other things. It can happen as you're reading other books related to faith. It happens in all kinds of ways. But part of it is for all of us to find that way that we hear God's voice. The image that I always come up with is an old image. I'm old enough to remember growing up with television before cable and satellite and streaming services and all that kind of stuff. And I remember in the house, we had this thing that we called rabbit ears. And you had to adjust them in just a certain way for certain stations and get them in a certain spot so that the signal would come in. And when it wasn't, the signal was fuzzy and the picture would have, you know, lines through it, that it wasn't clear. And I wonder sometimes in our world, we don't have our antennas set in just the right way, that God's word comes to us in a clear manner. And part of it is for us to be able to say, okay, how is it that I need to adjust my life? How is it that I need to quiet myself? How is it I need to prepare myself to set my rabbit ears in just the right spot so I hear and tuned in to the voice of the Good Shepherd, the voice that reminds me He is the one who has come. He is the one who has given His life for the sake of the world. How is it that you tune in to hear that voice of the Good Shepherd? How do you hear Him call your name to know that He has made you, He has redeemed you, and He has sent you, commissioned you to go and proclaim to the world, here is what God is doing. May we hear the voice of God in our life. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, You are the Good Shepherd who leads us, guides us, and directs us. You are the gate that opens up so that we may come in and go out and find good pasture. You are the Good Shepherd who calls us by name, who leads us out and calls us to come and to follow. Be with us and empower us in our life. Send Your Spirit upon us to open our ears and our hearts to Your word. May we hear Your voice clearly, and may we heed Your call. Help us to know that You and the Father are one, and that You are the one leading and guiding, and help us to always follow. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May He go before you to show you the way. May He go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.